Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and where have we been today? Well, through the brand new 14-country extra scrutiny list, through New York Times columnist Bob Herbert and why he thinks the so-called Cadillac health insurance tax is a middle-class time bomb, through Obama security policy in historical context, and then just before, Daniel Pink on motivation. And finally today, in a recent New Yorker, last week's, in fact, Nick Palmgarten wrote a long profile of John Mackey, the outspoken founder and CEO of Whole Foods, who, as Palmgarten puts it, is the epitome of a brown rice capitalist, a man who was at once committed to the organic and natural foods movement, but also a tried and true believer in the power of private corporations. So Palmgarten wrote his piece for The New Yorker, a profile of an interesting man at an interesting time. Since Mackey's libertarian streak has caught some of Whole Foods' customers by surprise, as when he wrote that much-discussed op-ed in the Wall Street Journal arguing against the Obama health care plan. This led to a boycott from the left and a boycott from the right. Maybe you participated in one or the other. But meanwhile, John Mackey announced that he is resigning as chairman of the board at Whole Foods, catching everyone by surprise just as this article was coming out around Christmas. It's not entirely clear what this will mean for the company, but it adds a nice news hook to this in-depth profile. And Nick Palmgarten joins us now to discuss his story and the larger issue of what Whole Foods means as organic goes mainstream. Hi, Nick. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Brian.
So do you think it was something in your profile that caused John Mackey to resign as chairman?
No, I'm afraid not, or I'm happy not. The story had gone to print when the news hit the wires. Actually, I heard about it on Christmas Day as I was sitting down to my Christmas dinner, I guess, or Christmas lunch. It crossed the wires at about 2:30 on Friday. He released it. The company released it in an SEC filing.
And do I understand correctly that he resigned as chairman of the board, but he's still the CEO? So in effect, he's still the Nick Palmgarten in charge of Whole Foods. I'm sorry, that's you.
Yeah,
the John Mackey in charge of Whole Foods. I gave you a big promotion.
Yeah, that would be something.
that we've known.
Yes, I don't think, I'm not sure, but I don't think it changes a lot, at least in the short term. I mean, the CEO position is the one that means the most to him. He still runs the company. He's still on the board. He still has a board that's mostly friendly to him. He's just not going to be running the meetings. He has been under pressure to separate the two positions.
So brown rice capitalist.
Yeah.
The man, as you write, who has perhaps done as much as anyone to bring the natural foods movement from the crunchy fringe into the mainstream, is also a vocal libertarian, an orthodox free marketer, an admirer of Milton Friedman, Ronald Reagan, and Ayn Rand. So what is the defining worldview that makes someone like John Mackey make sense?
Well, he's trying to synthesize, his own worldview with business. He's trying to make it clear to people that you can have a business that makes profits, but that can also, pursue a higher mission or a higher purpose. I'm not sure that's not possible. I mean, if you're allowing for a certain number of imperfections and compromises, it doesn't seem unreasonable to expect business to aspire to something besides pure lucre.
Did he appear conflicted at all as a brown rice capitalist when you talked to him?
No, not at all. I mean, he seems astounded that people think that there's something contradictory or paradoxical in his positions. I think his mission in life these days is to try to persuade people that there's nothing contradictory or paradoxical about the way he thinks or acts.
And you make the point that Mackey believes that the more money his company earns, the more it has to give away for good causes. But beyond that, he thinks that the company itself, simply by virtue of being big and being a force in the marketplace and selling natural foods, becomes a force for social good.
Right. I mean, obviously, again, it can't be perfect. You can't be the corner whole natural foods co-op if you're trying to run a national or even internationally scaled business. So there are compromises that have to be made. But, it's his belief that if you have a company that does well by its employees and tries to do well by its customers and tries to do well by its suppliers, that its success determines, greater success all around, the greater good.
Listeners, what's your take on Whole Foods? Are you a Whole Foods customer? And have you paid any attention to CEO John Mackey or his political views? Were you part of the boycott after his column on health care? Or were you part of the boycott? Give us a call from left, right, or other, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Nick Palmgarten from The New Yorker, who profiled John Mackey. Nick, you mentioned treating employees well, and I guess that's another of the paradoxes that you mentioned in the article, that he's vociferously anti-union,
right,
and yet he's proud of the way he treats his workers.
Yeah, you know, his anti-union stance has obviously made him a lot of enemies. As to how he treats his workers, you know, they have a very interesting corporate structure. The team, you know, they break into teams, and each team, you know, on down the org chart is sort of empowered to make decisions on its own. So in terms of, you know, the power within the organization, it's diffuse, and in many respects, that's perhaps a good thing for the employees. You know, they have a benefit program that is, I guess, somewhat, you know, it's somewhat different. They have a very, very high deductible and for their health care program, and then you put your money in they put aside money for you in a health savings account, all this stuff. You know, I can't even keep track of my own health care plan. So it's hard for me to really evaluate theirs. Some people at the company, many people at the company love it. They swear by the place. They adore him. They adore everything. Other people grumble. You know, they're the kinds of people that might grumble about any job. I mean, obviously it's not perfect, but they aspire to do well by the employees. I'm sure it's possible to get a call from someone who works there who says that this is a gulag, and I'm sure we could also get calls from people who say that this is paradise.
And we probably are, because I'll tell you a little behind-the-scenes secret here. When we did our segment earlier on Obama's national security policy in historical context, you think that's pretty important, right?
Right.
Especially after the Christmas Day bombing attack. Oh, the calls trickled in. There's a call here, a call there. Whole Foods, our entire board of 10 lines is immediately full.
Well, you are what you tell people to eat, I guess.
So Matt and Trumbull, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. Kind of a couple comments. I love that article, Nick. There's kind of two main kind of points. As someone who's been in the industry since the mid-80s, before there was anything like a national supermarket, that gets often overlooked. One is Whole Foods primarily grew through aggregating small regional chains, right. Mrs. Gooch's, Bread and Circus, and others. So I think there's a kind of excitement about what Whole Foods has done, but a real kind of buying their PR spin that they sort of created the theatrical grocery revolution in terms of these beautiful organic produce. And
so it wasn't so top-down. They aggregated more grassrootsy kinds of chains. And what's your other point?
And sure. And also I should add that, you know, that Whole Foods learned a lot from each of those companies that it bought. I mean, it sort of, you know, it ate up these other organizations and then somehow, you know, transformed itself into what they were.
And Matt, real quick, so I can get to some other folks.
The other point is that among a lot of green shoppers, they tend to think big is bad, small is good, and it's really much more sophisticated and subtle. So I kind of found it a little immature among a lot of the shoppers when Mackey said what he said, for them to boycott Whole Foods and not really look at that. It's a lot more complicated, and just because you're buying organic doesn't mean you're really creating anything more about changing the world. If you have two homes and you know,
right,
motor out in Long Island Sound in a big motorboat and you're buying organic, it's a much more complicated equation than just shopping at Whole Foods or not.
Matt, thank you very much. Deborah in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm a part of the Park Slope Food Co-op. I go from Lower Manhattan into Brooklyn, and I do my 2 hours and 45 minutes work. There was a whole tempest in a teapot with the Times article a while ago, but that is a food co-op that's really working and that's very effective. And unfortunately, large supermarkets such as Whole Foods or Morton Williams have really bought out New York because the real estate has gotten so high that there can't be the community that there used to be in terms of having health food stores that are groceries and other such things. And that's the problem, is that we've grown so big and then we've grown so expensive, and there isn't the dichotomy. So I am a boycott person against Whole Foods, even though it is closer than Park Slope to me, and I will go there in a pinch, so I'm not completely pure. I will admit it. But
well, I mean, you know, you're not maybe boycotting Whole Foods, you're just not shopping there, right?
Yeah, when I heard that about the whole the healthcare and all that, I was like, wait a minute, you know, it's a lot more complicated than that, and to come out with something like that is really cutting yourself off at the knees. And it's like, well, I'm not going to shop there, because if you're going to be so vocal about it, you know, I mean, it's like, why are you doing that? I think Whole Foods is a little insidious, but I also think, as the last caller, it's a bit more complex, because it's like, well, they're not really using as many local farmers as they really could. You know, it's hard to, because you're buying on a large scale. It's like, I don't want to buy all this produce from California. Yeah. Why aren't there anything that's more local? You know,
Deborah, thank you, and I'm really glad you raised that, because that's another issue, isn't it, Nick, for Whole Foods, is how much locavore cred does it really have compared to its image?
Well, you know, Michael Pollan wrote a chapter in his book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, you know, poking a hole in the sort of the myth of the pastoral origins of the food at Whole Foods. You know, it as a result of that, it tried to do better. And the question always is, okay, so it's trying. Whole Foods is trying. And is it trying hard enough? I don't know. Let's argue.
And Andy in Manhattan on our comments page says, equating Whole Foods with organic is a major misnomer, particularly since they've over the last several years moved decidedly towards natural foods, which have none of the legal quality controls that certified organic foods do, but a significant part of the higher organic price. And Bonnie in Manhattan wants to defend the op-ed on healthcare. Bonnie, you're on WNYC, real quick.
Hi. I shop at Whole Foods, not exclusively, but I do shop there. I wasn't going to stop shopping there because its CEO made a thoughtful statement. It wasn't a rabid statement of he's allowed his opinion, you know, and it wasn't like a some kind of knee jerk thing. It was a thoughtful statement. He's allowed. It's I'm certainly not going to try to punish him for that.
Thank you, Bonnie. And why do you think, Nick, and was Mackey himself, when you interviewed him, kind of baffled at the notion that he would expect his customers would expect him to agree with them on politics?
He's a little baffled, and he's also, you know, he recognizes that his customers have projected onto Whole Foods sort of an image of what Whole Foods is, and also that Whole Foods has had a hand in helping them project that image on Whole Foods as a mission-based company.
Because he said to you, I have my views, and they're not necessarily the same as Whole Foods.
Right. Well, you know, he signs the thing as John Mackey, and at the bottom of the column it says John Mackey is the chief executive of Whole Foods. So it's hard. Obviously, it's hard for him to separate the two. You know, he does not wear the public role very comfortably. He's not a politician. I mean, people kill him for it, that he's, you know, been so candid over the years. But, you know, there's something admirable in it, you know.
Speaking his mind.
Yeah, I mean, you know, corporate America, say nothing of, you know, politics or sports or the media, is overpopulated with overcareful, overcoached people. You know, insincerity rules. We're surrounded by baloney everywhere.
And surrounded by baloney everywhere are the last words that, listeners, you'll have to live with until the next Brian Lehrer Show tomorrow, spoken by Nick Palmgarten, who profiled John Mackey, CEO of Whole Foods, in last week's New Yorker. Nick, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. I think those words will hold.
Baloney. Organic baloney, of course.
Organic baloney, yeah.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.